gospel lesson this morning continues with the theme of parables we've been walking through for the past few weeks. We will be reading from the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 31. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood this? They answered, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. This is the word of God for us and for many, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. It's a phrase that hopefully we are very familiar with at this point in time. Past few weeks, we have been hearing different sayings of Jesus that all start in the Gospel of Matthew, at least, with the kingdom of heaven is like. A couple of weeks ago, we heard Jesus compare. The kingdom of heaven is like a sower who goes out and sows seed everywhere, who sows seed in good places and sows seed in bad. The sower just sows the seed wherever it will go. Last week we heard another one where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like wheat and weeds. Wheat that the master planted and weeds that were planted by the enemy. We heard how while we may desire greatly to go out and decide and judge what is wheat and what is weed, so that we may pluck up the weed and throw it away, we hear that God says, no, be patient. Let them grow. My people, my angels, my messengers will handle it in due time. These wonderfully long parables we had spent the last 2 weeks, and if you missed it, our YouTube channel has them. Go check that out. But they were wonderfully long parables, all things considered. And even more than that, what was so great about those parables for the readers today is that St. Matthew also explains them for us. He recounts how Jesus explained the sower and all the different types of soil and what they mean. St. Matthew tells of how Jesus explains who is the one who planted the wheat, who is the one who planted the weeds, and who will be the one to make the final judgment. Even going so far as to explain who the wheat is, who the weeds are. And yet this week, we just get like a scattershot of five different parables. Together, they are barely as long as any of the other ones were by themselves. And not really any explanations. Working backwards, we hear about how the kingdom of heaven is like a net that catches all the fish. All the fish, the good fish, the bad fish. We hear how the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, pearl merchant, who finds one of great value. Just how great? So great that he'll sell all the other ones for this one. We hear the kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure. That when the person finds, it doesn't even say searches for it, it says just finds it. He's willing to buy the entire field to have it. We hear about how it's like yeast that a woman put into some flour to bake great bread. And of course, it all started with one of the five who we're probably most familiar with, and one as a child, I was younger, I hated. Parable of the mustard seed. See, I hated it not because of the way it was interpreted to me, the way it was preached. No, no, no. I hated it because I absolutely detest mustard. Can't stand it. I'm a picky eater anyways. My mother can attest to that. My brother can attest to that. My wife can attest to that. I'm not as bad as my kids, but I'm still a pretty picky eater. But I can work around that other stuff. I don't like olives. I can work around it. I don't like mushrooms. I can work around it. Mustard, get it away from me. The smell alone will have me gagging. Yeah, I'm a bit of a prima donna when it comes to mustard. I've been to McDonald's before. Just had a little bit of mustard on the side of the bun and it almost made me not eat the whole thing. It's a tough job, I know. So imagine my surprise as a young person to hear that mustard is what Jesus would compare kingdom of heaven to. Of course, he's not speaking literally that for some reason the kingdom of heaven is a place where there are fountains of mustard. No, he's not saying that, right? But as a kid, I didn't get that. I just knew mustard is disgusting. It's yucky. So in my head, I have this picture of Jesus sitting around with these people, whether it's the disciples or this great crowd. We're not quite sure who the them is. Where he says, the kingdom of heaven is like mustard. And everybody's like, yeah, mustard, delicious. It's easy to see how we can bring our own preconceived notions, our own judgments into the reading of the text. Because the truth is, when we learn a little bit more about mustard seed, which is not the condiment mustard, it's very interesting to understand how it works. I've never had mustard seed in my backyard. Maybe you have, I haven't. It's a very tiny seed. But in Jesus' day, it wasn't actually something you would go plant in your garden. It was a weed. Nobody in their right mind would ever, ever choose mustard for their garden. Whether it's a flower garden or their vegetable garden or whatever it is, wouldn't put mustard in there. Because once mustard gets in there, it's very hard to get it out. Could you imagine? I'm not one of those people that cares a lot about my lawn, but I know some people are. Could you imagine talking to somebody who really cares about their lawn and hearing how this year they were going to put down crabgrass? It's ridiculous. We don't really have it much around here, but I know some of our more southern folks are familiar with kudzu. Similar. Maybe get down to Texas, mesquite. All of these weeds, we have called them weeds. We have made a judgment they are weeds. We don't want them in there because once they get in there, they're very hard to get out. They spread very quick. So maybe my reaction to mustard is much more in line with how the early hearers of this in Jesus' day heard it. A person going and planting mustard seed and then like letting it grow, knowing that it might wreak some havoc? Yeah. That's what Jesus says it's like. So too, he talks about yeast, which is something that I think a lot more people are familiar with now than they were about 5 months ago, you know, when we went through that sourdough craze. I love bread, absolutely love it. As much as I hate mustard, that's how much I love bread. So yeast, I'm good with that. But how would Jesus' hearers have heard it? Yeah, they used yeast, but also understand that when they celebrate Passover, which I believe is one of the defining moments of Israel's history, yeast wasn't allowed. And in fact, time and time again throughout Scripture, yeast is used, but rarely in good terms. St. Paul uses it, not always in the best of terms. A little yeast can ruin the whole batch. And yet still, Jesus uses it. Because both mustard and yeast have something in common. Once they get started, it's inevitable. It's going to keep going. Once you put a little yeast in that flour, you can't take the yeast out. Once you've mixed it in, you can't all of a sudden say, oh my goodness, I don't want this to rise. No. It's going to rise. It's going to double, and it's going to just keep producing. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It's inevitable. It may be invisible sometimes, like a mustard seed. You wouldn't know it if you had it in your hand. Like the yeast, once it's in there, you can't separate, see where yeast starts and where flour ends. But don't let its size trick you into thinking it can't do incredible, unbelievable things. In fact, you should expect it to do something. You should expect it to grow. You should be looking for it to grow. Even if maybe the way we think tells us it's not good. Every single time in the parable, Jesus keeps going back to this, eyes to see and ears to hear. Do you understand? Jesus is asking, if you saw the kingdom happening right in front of you, breaking through in your midst, how would you feel about it? Would your eyes tell you that it's a weed? Would they tell you it's something wonderful? Would they tell you it is something holy or it is something profane? This is the way the gospel works, my friends. Once we start to understand, once our eyes get reframed, once we hear the world a little differently, see the world a little differently, and therefore understand the world a little differently, we'll see the kingdom. Because it's here. It's around us. It's in the everyday. We just miss it. At best, we are just disinterested in it. Or at worst, we see the kingdom and we say, no, that's a weed. Get it out of here. Lack sometimes the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And yet, despite that, the kingdom's still going to do what the kingdom does. It's still going to keep coming forth in places that we aren't looking and bring about all the fruits of the kingdom of justice, God's justice, which maybe looks and sounds a little differently than ours. Going to bear fruits of love that maybe is a little different than what we're used to hearing. Compassion and mercy and forgiveness, more than we could ever deserve. Certainly more than we would ever give to somebody else. It's happening all around us. There are X's everywhere. We just miss it sometimes. But other times, my friends, the Holy Spirit comes in. And it makes us look left when everybody's telling us to look right. It lifts our heads to the heavens when we can't help but stare at our feet. it shows us something that we did not ever expect, that we could never have imagined. And it changes everything. It changes the way we understand this world. It changes the way we live. It shows us treasure where the world just sees an empty field. It shows us a pearl of great value when everybody else would just keep overlooking it. And once we see it, once we understand it to be what it is, we'll give everything over to it. We will give everything we have, everything that we are, to find it more, to find it in more places, to even go so far as to say, use me, God. Make me your mustard seed. Make me your yeast. Even if it's going to give me some weird looks. Even if people will dismiss us as foolish or as reckless. We know it's all worth it. Because we know that that mustard seed, it's bringing something unbelievable. It's bringing forth the very kingdom of God, a place where it will be so big that birds will nest in it. And it will provide food. We know that yeast is doubling and tripling and quadrupling and going time and time again over. Till there's enough bread to feed everyone who's hungry. We know the treasure's there, my friends. We know the pearl can be found. The only question we have to ask ourselves every day. Do I have the eyes to see it? Do I have the ears to hear it? Do I have the mind, the soul to understand it? Will I give everything for it? Because it's coming, my friends. The kingdom is coming. Don't let any bad news ever tell you otherwise. It's growing. It's doubling. And as God is a faithful God, it will be here. We just got to wait and look.